How many of you want to be like Jesus? Okay. That's what we're going to talk about. What does it mean to be like Jesus? Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessed and wonderful Savior we have. All glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for that particular company, the Bride of Christ. And you know what? The Bride of Christ is made up of believers who really want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, then now's the time to prepare your life by yielding to God and walking in the Spirit and reading the Word of God and studying and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. What will the Lamb's wife be like? She's going to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is in a glorified body. He's not in a human body anymore. But that glorified body bears the piercings of his hand and the cut in his side and in his feet. He bears those wounds forever. Isn't that something? Because he saved us. He did that. He was willing to go to that horrible death that we might be saved and be born again. So what's a lamb's wife going to be like? She's going to have the character of Christ worked in her life. And we say her because the Bible says it's a bride. But we know that men and women today, all of us, have the opportunity of really being like Christ, entering into this blessedness. And you all know it as well as I do. You can grit your teeth all you can, and you still will fail. We don't do this in our own strength. We don't do it because I'm determined, no, I'm not going to do so and so. I am going to walk with God. But we learn to be like the Lord by reading his word, praying and trusting in him and letting him have control of our life. All of those things. It's not in our own goodness or our own self at all. So he's going to be joined to his people one of these days who have his character. The character of Jesus Christ will be manifested in this group called the Bride of Christ. They will be like Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, let's look there at 1 Corinthians 1. It's one of my favorite verses. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Speaking of Jesus Christ, as you can see here, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's read verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. We aren't going to be able to stand there in the presence of the Lord and say, look at me, look at me, look how great I did. I overcame everything. We won't be there if we have that attitude. But it's all what he did. So no flesh is going to glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of Christ, you are in Christ. You are in the body of Christ, the church of the living God. You are in this place that the Lord Jesus has given to us. Praise the Lord. Who of God, Jesus Christ, he is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Four different things that are mentioned here that the Lord has made unto us. Praise the Lord. He has these characteristics and he manifests these things through us and in us. Praise the Lord. And the very first one is wisdom. It's not talking about the wisdom of man. It's talking about the wisdom of God, the understanding of the truth. And that is what Jesus manifests through us as we yield our vessel as a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12:1. Yield yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. He will begin to give you wisdom that just far surpasses any wisdom in the natural. And righteousness. He is our righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves. We can't be holy in ourselves. Anybody that thinks that will crash and fall. It will not work. We have to accept Jesus into our life. We have to let him work in us. And that righteousness of Christ, that beautiful life of Christ, will then be manifest through our mortal bodies. Wisdom will be manifested through us. Righteousness will be our part in the Lord. He gives us that righteousness. And notice he says, and sanctification. And we had sanctification last week, talking about how God separates us from the things of the world, from the things that are not of him. He wants to separate us as his children, showing his manifestation to us of sanctification, or this separation or holiness of God that is manifest in us. It's not because you're good that God loves you, or that he is seeing, looking down and saying, oh, look at that wonderful good person. They're really manifesting this sanctification, this holiness that I want in them. It is by falling on the strength of the Lord. I am not able. I am a human being. I'm not able to be like Christ. But I have a new life, and I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know that he's going to help me in this. He is going to manifest himself through me. And then the last one, redemption. Redemption is actually the first one. Without redemption, none of us would be righteous. We wouldn't have any wisdom. We wouldn't have any sanctification. But the redemption, what's redemption? Jesus Christ had to pay a price. We couldn't pay it. There was nothing we could do that would ever pay that price. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he hath saved us. No righteousness in ourselves. But praise the Lord, that redemption that Christ paid. He paid the debt. I'm going to quote it again. It's an old song, but it says, he paid the debt I could not pay. He could not pay. I could not pay it. He paid the debt I could not pay. Hallelujah. By his death on the cross, glory to God. And that redemption goes to us in a threefold way. First of all, our spirit is redeemed. When we're saved, we have the Spirit of Christ. We are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's paid the price for us. Second thing is our soul is now being changed. Our soulish nature that we have needs to be yielded over to God so that we don't just walk our life according to our soul. Our soul is our feelings, our nature to do all of these things that we think are right. But he wants us to yield our soul completely to him during this time. And one of these days, our body is going to be changed. Praise the Lord. We'll still look, I think that we'll be recognizable as who we are. But we are going to have a new body. Praise the Lord. Our body at redemption that will happen when Jesus Christ appears and he says, come up here. Our body is just going to be changed. And Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. How fast is that? How fast is a twinkle of an eye? I don't know. I don't think it means necessarily the bat of the eye, like blinking like that. But it means how quickly that our eye sees something. So quickly we're not even aware of it. We don't say, well, now my eye is seeing. Unless we're going blind like some of us are as we get older. But we have glasses now, thank the Lord. God is good. So Jesus was a man of great character. He was God, and yet he was man. And the attributes of Christ Jesus are what he once worked in us. And when we say attributes of Christ, that word means his actions, his character, his behavior. How did he act? How did he go about? We know the scripture says he went about doing good. So if we want to be like Jesus, then these are the characteristics that we need to ask the Lord, work in me. Give me the humbleness of Christ. Give me the victory in my life. Give me the love for others that I should have, the forgiveness that Christ has, that he always has, that I may forgive others. Hallelujah. So this is a work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It isn't us. It isn't our gritting our teeth and saying, I'm going to be nice today. That doesn't work. And I think probably all of us realize that are here. So first, we're going to look at these different characteristics of Christ. And a verse came to me in Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that submitting ourselves is the whole key to every one of these things that we find here that we're going to talk about. The characteristics of Christ that we can be in our lives. And if we look our own life, we may see failure and we think, how can I ever be like Christ? Well, it's not your physical self or your fleshly self that we're talking about. We're talking about that inward spiritual man, the life of Christ in our lives, that is will be manifest more and more in us and through our bodies, through our natural bodies, as we walk in the Spirit and yield to God. Praise the Lord. So that the things that I used to like, I don't like anymore. The things that I might say and through my voice that are not like God, I don't want to do that anymore. And I ask God to deliver me from those things. That's what it means. So the first thing is perfect obedience. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ had as far as his submission to his Father. Perfect obedience. He was God. How could he be obedient in a fleshly body? And yet he was. He was obedient. He was in submission constantly to his Father. And he says he is able to subdue all things unto himself. In Philippians 3:21, Paul talking there. So we have to become obedient to the Father. We need to be in submission to the Word of God and to the will of God in our lives. But how is it? Can we just do that in ourselves? No. Praise the Lord. He is able to subdue everything. The Holy Spirit will bring things to our minds. You know, this little area here is something that needs to change. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit do that? And he does it. Every one of us are human here. Every one of us have, when we have this guide, is coming to us and saying, this needs to change. So it's in perfect obedience and submission to God that these things change in our life. Praise the Lord. The second thing is that we're going to look is victory over temptation of Satan. And that was characteristic of Christ, wasn't it? He was in the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days, and he didn't eat anything, probably didn't drink anything all that time. And yet, when the 40 days were over, Satan came there and began to tempt him, saying, turn these stones into bread. If you say you're God, if you say you're the Son of God, jump off of this temple, this high place, and nothing will happen to you. Your God will deliver you. All those things he told. We have victory over the temptation of Satan. Jesus won that victory on the cross. We are victors in Christ. We don't need to let the devil push us around. Glory to God. The battle in Ephesians 6:12 says that we battle not against flesh and blood. We don't battle against flesh and blood. We don't battle in our own strength. We don't gain any victory by that. But that battle is against the principalities and the powers and the leaders of spiritual darkness in high places, is what it says there in Ephesians 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now we're on the third one, and that is a characteristic of Christ, which is humility, humbleness of mind. There's no one that's ever been more humble than Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being in the majesty up there in the heavens with everything that he wanted at any hand if he'd ask it? Of course, we don't understand all of that, do we? But Jesus Christ came down here and just wore a plain old common robe and didn't go forth saying, I'm the king, so everybody must follow me. He didn't do that. He was not pushing. He was knowing that he was going to go to the cross, and it was a very humbling experience. The worst kind of death they could suffer in that day was the death of the cross, and Jesus Christ did that. Humble. And so 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. Be clothed. The word actually is to engirdle, and I thought that was kind of an odd name. We know that the Christian soldier in Ephesians 6 is to have on that be girded with the truth, you know, and those kind of things. But an engirdle, I think that implies an inward something, an inward work that is the Lord wants to give to us. And it means an apron of the badge of servitude. And I remember now as I was looking this up, this is the garment of a slave. They would only have them to wear, it was a male, they just would wear a thing around here on their body, that's all, just to cover their private parts, and that was it. And the Lord wants us to be in humility. That's why he uses that word, to engirdle or to apron as a badge of servitude. Are you willing? Are you willing to be counted as a servant? The word in the Bible where it says servant, you know that that word is actually slave. In the original, the word is actually slave, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was so humbled, humble, wasn't he? He came into his own, and it seemed like that all he had, of course, Mary had him there in the stable, but then he finally was moved to a home. And God blessed them with some money, wasn't it, with the wise men coming and bringing them some things that they needed. They were able to buy the things they needed. But it seemed like in his ministry, he just wore one garment and one shawl-like type. And he was so humble that he would go right in where the leprous people were and take a hold of their hand and tell them to rise up. He wasn't afraid of anything. He was the Son of God. He stooped to lift the fallen. He had nowhere to even lay his head, he said. No beautiful home or mansion that he should have had. I mean, he was the king. Why didn't he have a wonderful place? He was humble. He was in humility. And the opposite of humble is to be proud, to be arrogant, to be haughty. Those are all words that illustrate something or someone who is not humble before the Lord. So this is a characteristic of Christ that he wants all of us to have, to be humble, to be yielded. Then the fourth one is compassion. And we know how he had compassion. It says some places he had compassion on them. It means a feel of sympathy, a pity, and a love. Think of his love for others. I know sometimes there are unlovely people that come into our life. I've had people that were dirty, people that were obnoxious to have to go to their home and see how they lived and see how neglected their children were. I mean, I have experienced some of those things. It's very hard to go in that kind of home. This one lady invited us to eat with her, and we thought, oh, she'll be, you know, so upset if we don't go. So I had little baby David, and we went to her house, little adobe house out in New Mexico, and she had a dirt floor. She didn't have any floor in there. She had you'll think I'm exaggerating, but she had 11 children at that time, two-room house. And two of the girls, they didn't have any couch or anything, but two of the girls were laying in the bed. And when I came in, she said, just lay your little baby right here on the foot of the bed. He'll be fine. And I said, what's wrong with the girls? She said, oh, they've got mumps. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I was a young woman, first child. I did not want my baby hurt. But when I hugged my baby tighter, the Lord said, I'll take care of you. You're going to offend her so badly. She doesn't understand. And you know, he gave me the grace to lay my baby right there. And I spoke to the girls, don't touch my baby. But this is the kind of humility that the Lord will bring on us sometimes. The children there had dug, they didn't have any place to play, so they had been digging in the floor. And in the kitchen, you had to walk up this way, and there's a big old hole. She said, oh, the kids have been playing in the dirt. I said, oh, okay. All right. God was with us. My child never suffered one thing from that. But he wanted us to take that humble place and be willing to go into someone's house. She was a woman all by herself trying to raise those kids. Victoria is her name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Humility, compassion on people who don't have anything. Feeling of sympathy and pity and love. Think of his love for others. In Matthew 14:14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Can you imagine how many people were sick in a multitude of people? Sometimes 5,000 or so would come out to hear him. And yet he was healing all of their sick. Isn't that amazing? In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How about us? Are we touched with other people's problems? Or we just live for ourselves? Do we just live for our own needs and not think of how others are really in need and need help from God and from us? And oftentimes, just a little money given to them helps them out. But we have to be led of the Spirit, don't we? He says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Have that mind of compassion. That isn't in ourselves. It's not going back on our fleshly attitude at all, because our flesh is not compassionate. Our flesh is not that way. It's letting that new life of Christ come out. So the fifth thing we'll look at is faithfulness. He was faithful to his calling of God. Jesus Christ was. He went about doing his Father's will. He could have called 10,000 angels down to deliver him. But he didn't, because he was doing his Father's will. He constantly spoke of doing his Father's will, and he fulfilled his calling, didn't he? In Acts 10:38, it says, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That was what Jesus did. His whole life was dedicated totally to the Father's will. Perfectly faithful to God. Now the sixth thing. See, I'm running out of time, so we're okay. Was he was without sin. He never committed sin. And we might say, well, yeah, he was Jesus. He was God's child. No wonder he didn't sin. But I think he could have made choices. Whenever Satan was tempting him, he could have made choices and said, okay, you know, I don't want to go to the cross. He could have said there in the garden when he was praying, he said, Father, if it be possible, remove this from me. See, there was a choice, but he made a choice, and he was without sin. So how can we expect to be like him in that way, without sin? He is holy. He's the holy sacrifice in him. We are the vile sinner. How can we be any different? It's a secret, and all of us have learned it here today. We were born again. We have the life of Christ in us. We've been born again. Praise the Lord. That's the first whole thing that we have to remember. We can be like Jesus because we have Jesus in our life. The second thing, yielding to him and letting him wash us and clean us up. We must say, here's my body, Lord God. I want to walk with you. I want to yield to you. Just do whatever you want to do in my life. That's really important. If you haven't said that to the Lord, you really need to say that. Here I am, Lord. Just use me. Just whatever you want in my life, that's what I want. I want you to be all in all to me. As in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, and your sisters are included too. I beseech you, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, just the reasonable thing to do after all God has done for us, is to yield our body over to Christ and let him yield, walk in us in the Spirit. The next thing, number 7, he was a sacrifice unto God, and he gives us grace. He gives us, he asks us to give all to him. He was a sacrifice. He gave himself totally. What is our part then? To give ourselves. As he says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Prove that in your own life, that you will walk in the Spirit and let the perfect will of God be worked in your life. So he came to do the Father's will. And he was the sacrifice for sin. He was perfectly obedient. The next one is really important, and that is forgiving. On Jesus, when he was on the cross, Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging on the cross. Hanging on the cross. He was willing to forgive. You know that that's one of the problems we have as humans. Sometimes somebody does us dirty, and we don't want to forgive them. And we just think they deserve every bit of my scorn for them and my unhappiness with them. That doesn't mean we can just go back and maybe be in the same way that we were when somebody does something really, really bad. But this word forgiveness means to lay it aside, to put it away, to send it away, to remit it. That is more like forgiveness, because when you remit something, you erase it, you take it away, and to yield up. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So how many times do we fail in a day? And God always forgives us. He forgives us. He loves us. He forgives us. Praise the Lord. And he gives us that strength also to forgive others. Praise the Lord. The ninth one is patience. That one is Christ kept his composure and he responded appropriately to every individual. So patient with other people. I come up and said, the bad Pharisees said some things terrible, and the others, the poor peasant that couldn't really hardly express himself. Whatever, Christ was so patient. Praise the Lord. He is the God of patience. It says in Romans 15:5, the God of patience. In the Greek, the word patient means to be long-spirited. Some of us have a short spirit. We're mad. Somebody said something and I'm mad. Somebody did something to me and I don't know when I'm going to forgive them. But the patience means to be long-spirited. Forbearing, that means you put up with stuff. long-suffering and it to endure. Think of our Lord Jesus, how patient he was while he was here on the earth, and how patient he is right now with us. Has God ever had to manifest patience to you or for you? Do you think he has? He's a very patient God, so he has. Whether you can think of it or not, he has been very patient with you. He's been very patient with me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tribulation works patience. Characteristic in our life, which we really don't want that. How many want tribulations? No. But tribulation is what creates patience, because we have to learn to wait. We learn to wait in trials. We pray for a healing, it doesn't come. We pray for something to be lifted off of us, and here we are still bearing that. But he's faithful, see. He will do it in his time, but he's going to give us patience. He's going to, because it's one of the best characteristics of the Christ life in us. In 2 Corinthians 6, 4, it says, approving ourselves. What does that mean? Go around proving how great I am? That's not what that means. That word means exhibiting. Exhibiting. Okay, how are you going to manifest Christ? Exhibit yourself. Manifest Christ as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. This is how you manifest Christ. So remember when you read that, approving doesn't mean you're trying to make everybody like you and so you're doing certain. That's not what that means. It means to exhibit. Exhibit yourself as the ministers of God. Let what people see of you to be real, to be what Christ would do, what Christ's life in you is coming out to do. Okay? Tenth one. There are 10 of these. So we're almost through. We have 3 minutes. Love. The last one is love. What is love? I think all of us have a good idea because we're all loved someone at one time in our life for sure. Okay. It's taking the initiative to build up and meet the needs of others. And we can give a lot of definitions to love. If you love somebody, you want to help them. You want to build them up. You want to meet their needs. And there's a last thing to it also. Without expecting anything in return. That's not like our human nature. We want something in return. If I'm going to do this, they're going to have to really shape up. Did you ever hear somebody say that? They're going to have to straighten out or I'm not going to be around them. But love is taking the initiative. You be the starter of it. You don't wait. Wasn't God like that? He sent his son to us. We were unbelievers. We didn't know God. We weren't even on the scene when he came. But it's taking the initiative to build up and meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. And that's a really important thing because I think most of us are kind of geared to, well, I did that for them and look at them. They don't even give me any respect for that. Isn't that kind of the way our flesh is? So, expecting without expecting anything in return. That's why God gave his son. That's how Jesus died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Think of Jesus' love in his earthly life. He's constantly helping other people, healing, giving his strength to bless other people. Think of his love for us. Given his life for us. I couldn't go on without Jesus' love. I know that all of you are the same way. We could not go if it wasn't for Jesus' love. Think of how much he loves us right now. And he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's Matthew 5:44. So the greatest test of all these things that we talked about this morning is to love. It's greater. Love has a greater ability and will accomplish all those other things. Love is the greatest test of how much we really love Jesus right now. How much do you really love Jesus? Paul said that a crown was laid up for those that love his appearing, right? And this love does deepen and deepen as you continue to follow him and talk to him and fellowship with him. By the way, I wrote all this. When I read, I have this habit because I like to write things. So I write my sermon. So try not to keep reading it. But anyway, I'm not trying to take any glory. I'm just saying that these are things that the Lord has brought to my mind. This love deepens as you continue to follow Christ and you keep talking to him and fellowship with him. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper, just like a natural place. Like when I first met my husband, he was quiet. He wouldn't talk. And here I am, this blabber person, you know. And it took a while for us to communicate because he was very quiet. But he finally did start talking. And then I couldn't get him stopped. No, he was fine. Other characteristics of Christ that we could have gone into is gentleness, peacefulness, truthfulness. These are attributes of Christ, and they don't come by our just gritting our teeth and saying, I'm going to love that person from now on. If it kills me, I'm going to love them. No, it doesn't work that way. It's by our yielding ourselves to Christ and saying, Lord, work this in me. Work this in me. It's not of myself. I can't do it. I can't do it. I hope all of you have said those words. I can't do it, because that's a good sign. That's where God wants us, is we can't do it. We can gain victory in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. These attributes of Christ are working in our lives as we yield to his working. And what is Philippians 2:13? I expect all of you to know this verse. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You think he's happy when he's working on us?
Yes.
Yeah, he's happy. And when he sees us change, he's so happy. I know he's looking down with a heart of love and happiness.